WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. Happy Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Festivus, whatever you're celebrating. Hanukkah was last week, Kwanzaa's around the corner, and my eggnog drinking celebration shall begin here this week, as well as a crab cake celebration. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. We got the Unwrap the Cash prizes, we have the peppermint payouts, as well as the scented Oh Snap gingerbreads. We were giving these away last week at Foreign Daughter and Curio Wellness with Gina Shock, Rock and Roll Hall of Famer. I had a great, great conversation about cannabis and the plant and the science and all of that with Michael Bronfine and Wendy Bronfine of Curio, and also learned about detergent taking out all the stinky stank of my activewear with a guy named Drew Westervelt from Hex, H-E-X, Baltimore company, Baltimore manufacturing company, kind of an interesting story. And we learned all that up at Curio Wellness on Friday. We are going to be at Wise Markets this week, talking Maryland Stadium Authority, hoping to get Bill Ferguson and Brooke Learman and a whole bunch of different people on, Wes Moore, to talk about the stadium outcome. But it's on the top of everyone's tongue. It's Ravens football. It's Festivus. It's Lamar. Not talking as much about the defense, but the defense is worth talking about. This guy talks about all things digital, and he is our chief digital officer. We've made some moves to be pissed off for greatness going into 2024. Mike Rosenfeld is here. He's from Web Connection. You can find him at webconnection.com. You can find him at baltimorepositive.com. And certainly, if you need help with your web strategy, as he brags about here at AM 1570 in our commercials, he's the guy for you. But, you know, it's the holidays, and you're like all the rest of us here, trying to work through all the cocktails, all the family, all the madness. And this football team being as good as they've ever been, right? I mean, this is doesn't get much better than this on Christmas night, San Francisco. This is a hell of a week for the Ravens.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, this is my kids are spread out. I got one in Detroit, one in Chicago. We're all starting to make plans about, you know, playoff football, and hopefully multiple games in Baltimore would be nice for a change. This hell schedule yesterday's win against Jacksonville was huge. That's the one you had to get in this brutal stretch. But yeah, it's definitely fun.
I think you have to get them all with the teams coming behind you. And then you see the Kansas City's playing the Little Sisters of the Poor for the next couple of weeks. And so they're going to win. And Buffalo's gotten better, although they might not get in. They better be good to get in. Whereas with the Ravens, if the Ravens want to be a one seed, they better be good. If they want to get a bye, they better be good. These next 2 weeks, best team in the NFL, they would say, on the road. The Ravens are a 4.5-point dog early on as we get going. Maybe he'll change for the week. I don't know. On the road for the second week in a row, certainly did enough to win against Jacksonville and defensively held their water, although early in the game, Trevor Lawrence gave some gifts. I mean, I pitched last week about Harbaugh and clock management, and Luke was like, hey, they're not the only ones that aren't any good at it. Well, there goes your proof where you have a Super Bowl winning head coach, a quarterback who won national championships. He's been in the league a couple of years ago. Just leave points out on the field against the best team in the AFC.
I mean, that was ridiculous. I don't think that was coaching. I think it was the quarterback run on the ball. Ravens won't be able to get set. Let's run a quick play. And it was a gift. It was a gift, and we'll take it. I have a question for you.
Sure.
Couple of them. One is the timing of if they're going to flex the Dolphins game, which would be huge on New Year's to be a four-ish game, for people to party and then go into New Year's. But the big one is a strategy question. I don't understand. I know it's not exciting. I don't understand the mindset of kicking a ball short and allowing the receiving team to return the ball rather than just getting the ball to 25-yard line. So there was a play yesterday where Tucker kicked it to the 5, and our special teams hasn't been excellent this year, and they ran the ball back to the 40. And I think that's what started the drive that ended the half. And I'm like, why do that? So every time they kick the ball off, I'm like, just boot it through the end zone.
Mike, I'd love to ask questions, but they threw me out. Now, there used to
Yeah.
be a point here where a guy like you would ask me something like that, and I'd say, I'll ask Harbaugh on Wednesday, or I'll ask Billick.
Yeah.
That's not the world that they have. I mean, you know,
Yeah, I hear
Jad
you.
Steele was standing on national television stalking his quarterback, trying to grab his quarterback from Melissa Stark. And it's like, dude, what are you doing? Get the hell out of the shot. You know, so I don't, the way they're managed and the way they're, you can't ask questions. I don't, and I don't know that you would get honesty in that, in the way that during the Billick era, he'd say, well, we thought the kick returner had the yips and he was going to fumble the ball. We thought we could push him back there and make him start at the 15 instead of the 25. We liked the way we were covering, you know, like whatever the answer would be, which would be the real answer. Because there really is usually an answer. I mean, the Trevor Lawrence thing at the goal line was very simply like, we could have dirted the ball, but we had a free play and I effed up. The free play had to be into the end zone or it had to be through the end zone. Or dirting the ball because you don't want to cost 3 points there. But at least you would get a straight answer of, I screwed up. You know, literally, I screwed. Harbaugh was truthful last week. You weren't on the show last week, but he did say on the camera, I effed up. He said that into his microphone.
Well, I
So at least
saw.
you can get some truths if, you know, Fox Television, they love those tight shots. When Fox does a game, you get to see coaches' lips move. Yeah, CBS isn't really into that so much. You know what I mean? So a lot of it is about the broadcast. And how about having Terry McAuliffe basically say the league's wrong on the touchdown call? Like, very rarely do you see that from an official on national television saying, I think the league got that wrong. I think your bet's not going to cash because of the goofs in New York.
Well, I know that everyone listens to your radio program and definitely listens when I'm on with you. But checking the Google machine, I will just tell you that the average yard line for a kickoff return is the 22.8 yard line. For me to potentially give up a big play versus just saying, let's start at the 25 yard line makes absolutely no sense. So I wish you could ask that question. I know you can't. But I had a debate with my son. He's like, they wanted to take 5 seconds off the clock, you know, for them returning the kick. I'm like, so it was what, 1 minute 38 versus a minute, you know, 30, you know, three or whatever. It makes no sense, but I digress. It was a big game, I'm a half full guy. I like to believe I am. So I'll take the W. These are must win games. You know, I've said going into these next two games, well, of course you'd like to win both, but you got to win the one against the AFC for tie-breaking purposes. So I was really happy to get that W yesterday.
And Jacksonville, like, now fighting with Indianapolis and Houston. And how about the Oilers wearing those? I mean, awfulness. But Mike Rosenfeld is here. He's a web connection. I'm sorry. Go
they
ahead.
They weren't in Houston. I mean,
they wore it in Tennessee against Houston. So if you're in Houston watching team play, old team, and we're familiar with this, when the Colts wore their 56 throwbacks the other day, and having it unnecessarily Amy Adams, classless. I love the Oilers. I love their uniforms. If I bought the Oilers, if I bought the Titans, I would be compelled to put the Oilers uniforms back. I love the Oilers. Everything about them, that was filthy.
Not that
just
game.
Intellectually, shows me who you are. You know what I mean? Really? Because unnecessary. And you know what the weirdest thing? And I talked to Luke about this, and I know we're going to talk some AI and end of year with you being the web guy, but I'm blown away by how many fans in the stands in Nashville were wearing Oilers gear. Like, that stuff is selling in Tennessee in a big way.
Yeah. I often say I'm so glad they changed, you know, the Ravens created a new name. I'm glad that the Cleveland got their team back. I'm glad there's no overlap there.
Nobody looks at us anymore and thinks Cleveland Browns.
No one, except for people in Cleveland.
Right.
You know,
but then we gave him Joe Flacco. I mean, he's going to get him to the playoffs. So there's, you know, I mean, we gave him the best we had.
Yeah. You know, look, when they won that game, I was, first of all, I'm like cursing the Bears. And I'm like, we got to win. I mean, I do not, I want to win the division and at least get one playoff game. So yes, once again, yesterday's win was huge.
Are you rooting against Flacco just because they're the Browns and you hate them no matter what? Or do you have a soft spot for Flacco? Because there's really a mix of this. I find myself rooting for Flacco. I'm not saying like, and I'm rooting for Jim Schwartz too, because he's one of my, I mean, so every time they get the ball or give the ball up, I've got like a vested friendship involved in that in some really weirdly. It's,
I like
I've
the.
never looked at the Cleveland Browns and rooted. I'm an Oilers fan, right? So I never liked the Cleveland Browns ever, ever, ever. It took me a little while to get used to Vinny and, and Michael Jackson and all that when they got here.
The answer to your question is I'd like him to see him perform well, stay healthy, but the Browns lose. What I don't want to see is a Ravens Browns playoff game, and God forbid Joe Flacco leads the team to a win over us. That would, in my mind, tarnish the feeling I have for him in the history of I would. It
It would
would
not take away New Orleans. It would not.
no, it would not. But still, I mean, for him to come in here and eliminate the Ravens in a playoff game, especially if they were the number one seed, would scar.
Oh.
I'm being honest.
I can't imagine the phone calls that day, the morning after that. Mike Rosenfeld is here. He is at the Web Connection. Tell me what you do. You're Chief Digital Officer, and I you were the first one to really bring me ChatGPT and AI. I am not really utilizing it, although it is everywhere in every piece of software, whether it's Microsoft, whether it's my Jetpack and things that on Monster Insights, things on the backside of my website, my Otter, which we use for transcription, uses AI. So like. It's all there, and I haven't jumped in. But as you know, and anybody that knows me knows, my wife's off baking. It's holiday week. I work on my business, not in my business. If you're listening to the radio this week, you're going to hear a lot of best of and a lot of crab cake tour stuff this week through the holidays. And I am working on the greatest promotion we've ever done here. We're going to do Super Bowl week. So our Radio Row week after, I mean, if you've heard Joe Namath and Joe Montana and whoever, Hugh Jackman, all the stars we've had, we're going to do something really special this year for Radio Row to talk about our 25th anniversary and to commemorate that. But I need to get better in 2024. And that's something I look at every year at Christmas. I have my list up here, the purpose of my life, to be the best version of myself, enjoy all of my life. I mean, I have all of my game out to get better in 2024, to make a better Baltimore Positive, to celebrate our 25th anniversary. And I know, much like if you weren't on Twitter, if you didn't have a Facebook, if you didn't have a cell phone, if you weren't on the internet, like at these points in life, where life changed, you get cable TV, right? Like whatever. This AI thing is something that the cool kids are using it. You're a digital nerd, you're using it, but it is paramount for me, being a small business owner, to right here, right now, that we're a year into this, really, where people are using it. Is I need to adopt it. I need to drive it. I need to understand it. And I need to utilize it in the same way when I went over to Dave Goldsmith's house and he's like, so kids, there's this thing called the World Wide Web and it's going to blow your mind. I remember that first meeting that I went to in Pikesville in 1997. I'm like, what is this GeoCities and this America Online thing? The AI thing is something that if in the next 6 months, in the next 6 weeks, I can drive it better. It's going to change my business, and I realize this. So I want you to take your platform and tell me what you know because you've been adoptive, and my chief digital officer has taken a strategy with AI that, quite frankly, you didn't have 9 months ago, right?
Yeah, well, first of all, and I'm not just saying this to kiss your tail, but there are, we've been at our respective businesses for a while, and there's a lot of people who would just say, I'm just going to ride this out until I retire. But the fact that you and I both are focusing on continuing to be better and to grow is a testament to how we approach our businesses. So
Well,
I
I'm
want to
celebrating 25 years and no offense, I've done some great shit around here. You know what I mean? And I'm proud of it. 25 years in, Curio sponsored our 25th anniversary. I just put our road trips up. We've taken over 12,000 people on the road. Like, we've done great, great things. That's great. I'll pat myself on the back. It's been a great ride. but I'm 55 and like Baltimore Positive's relevant and the governor's pissed at me. And like, so like I know we can do great things, but I also know you couldn't do it without a cell phone. You couldn't do it without a web page. And I think we're getting to the point where if your competitors are using AI and you're not, you're spending money, time, waste, not being resourceful, not being efficient. Especially if you're small, you're going to get steamrolled the way, Amazon steamrolled people.
Yeah. So to answer your question, I happen to feel artificial intelligence and AI is overused. Like we just bought a new washer and dryer and it says it's AI, because it's intelligent and it's not a human, so therefore it must be artificial intelligence. But I focus on actual machines that learn and advance themselves and mimic the way a human being would behave. One of the examples, so yeah, I've been talking about ChatGPT because that's the low-lying fruit that most people think about when they think of AI. One of the examples that I'm going to give that has no relevance to my business or my clients, but I found outstanding was how they're using it in an operating room. So the example that I saw was when they open up, if someone has what they believe is brain cancer. In the old days, which was a year ago, they would open them up, they would take a slice of the growth, they'd close the person's skull up, and then they would send it to a lab, and it would take weeks, I'm not going to say months, but weeks for them to determine what this was and how they were to treat it. Now what they do is they bring a computer into the operating room. The skull is open. They take this piece, they run it on in this computer, and the artificial intelligence not only can immediately, while the person's still open, so they don't have to go through two surgeries and cracking their skull open twice and all that, determines what the pathogen is, what the DNA of the tumor is. They can predict the growth of what would happen if left untreated so that they can make real-time decisions in the operating room of what to do. Now, that's not a ChatGPT, write me an email with a subject line type of use of
This is
AI.
all
That
I
is,
need.
yeah, exactly. But
Create a post with a headline that says what I say it is and add taglines and, launch it to YouTube. Like trying to do simple things here. Just, you know.
So let's make it simpler than brain surgery. I've told you in the past, I mean, I'm in the business, so new technologies weekly are rolling out. But for me, every year, year and a half, there's a technology that changes, is a game changer for my business. And this year's was a note-taking app, which is artificial intelligence. So, as my practice grows, I go from consultation to consultation, one client to the other. Sometimes their needs are similar, sometimes they're different. And I need to be on top of my game so that when the next time I have a consultation with them, I'm like, okay, last week we discussed this. You were supposed to deliver these things. I was supposed to deliver these things. Let's move the ball forward and let's grow. But as I get busier and busier, I notice that sometimes small details were slipping through the cracks. I don't know that my clients realize that, but I realize that, and I have a high standard for myself. So right now, a lot of your listeners may notice if they go into a Zoom or they go into a Teams, they see a extra rectangle that joins the meeting that says so and so is taking notes for you. Firefly AI is probably one of the leaders. The one that I'm using is called Fathom, and it's a bolt-on to your you don't have to use it with Teams and Zoom. You can just put it on your desktop and open it up.
Gives you an automatic summary of the conversation, right?
Yeah, but
Literally.
it's not like just a transcript, which I see on your website. It can give you that. What it does is it breaks it down. This was talked about, then this was talked
It's a
about.
summary. I have a summary of every conversation on Otter AI that I need to figure out how to get to our platform so the summary shows up at Baltimore Positive. So real life issue for me is the summary exists. I just don't know how to get it to live within the frame of what I'm delivering because people would like a summary of what Luke and I talk about. Oh, offense, defense, whatever, other than just a headline. It's the same issue of summarizing any conversation and recollecting better, right? Like instead of, I got it all right here in my head, we're doing too much for that. Having notes for all of it the next time you get together would be beneficial in any walk of life, right? To pick up where you left off, have a little
And
review.
it's not just the summary, which it is, but at the very end it says next steps. So it takes the summary and it gives you the next steps to the point where it is so smart that, and I don't do it 5 minutes before the meeting, but I could 5 minutes before my next meeting, I could go to the 1.5 page summary to the very bottom 1/20th of what they've produced and read that and be totally prepared for my meeting. Now, I will tell you that I'm a member of a small CEO group. We've been together for years. We just kind of support each other and talk through issues and things like that. One of the members is our mutual friend Bill Cole. And I
This
went
Bill
from
Cole here, the one that puts the coffee in my Cole roofing mug. This one.
that's right, the roofing and the solar energy company CEO. And I basically said the same thing. This was a game changer, and there was some debate like, is this excessive and do you really need it? So he's a client of mine. We had a consultation, and I said, hey, how about I just send you what it just showed me? And I sent it to him. He's like, whoa. He's like, how much is this? It's just a game changer. And it's not just for, and look, I love giving tips to your audience that they can use on their own. I am a consultant, so I regularly hold meetings. And my clients are all over the place, so oftentimes it's in Zoom. So that may make sense to people that they can do that. But if you're like, let's just say Bill, he's not a consultant, but he has a lot of meetings. He has meetings with his executive team, with his HR team. So you can use it for that. You can set up a microphone with you in your boardroom. You can have the meeting and it'll still summarize your
You know how
meeting.
much better at school I would have been at the end of the day if there just would have been a summary for me at the end of, like
I'm telling you.
I just would have been better at what well, I mean, look, in all my Robbins training, what they tell you have to get a piece of information four times, hear it twice, repeat it again, write it down, like all of those sort of intuitive human things to say, all right, I now own that information. That information is learned, not I have to look it up, literally, right?
And there's one other piece that this software does, which I find to be outstanding. It provides you this outline. It's an outline. It's the way they taught you to learn and take notes when you're in college. It's an outline, but for every entry in the outline, there's a blue link. And if you click on the blue link, it takes you right to that portion of the conversation. So if just the entry isn't enough and you want to relive the actual conversation and the nuance of it, you click on it and instead of having to figure out where it was and drag your slider to where you think it was in the video, it takes you right there. It's just outstanding and ridiculously inexpensive. I'm talking like 100 and 150 bucks a year to get your stuff in order and get your head wrapped around and not have to worry. Like I like this. I like what we're doing, the free flow creative conversation where we don't have to say, okay, stop so I can take a note down. We can just go and
And the
know.
notes being taken, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
Well, great stuff, man. I mean, great tips. Mike Rosenfeld is our chief digital officer. That's why, right there. And I'm going to be stepping my game up. We're going to be stepping our game up. We're going to be at Fadley's next week. I have my Fadley shirt on underneath here. 27th, that's Wednesday after Christmas. We'll be giving away some peppermint payouts. We'll have some other holiday giveaways, as well as having our final crab cake in the old Lexington Market. It's going to be fried oysters and shrimp. I'm doing it all this way. I'm going all in at Fadley's. And we're doing something in Radio Row week That's going to be one of the most exciting things we've ever done here through 25 years. So I am piecing that together. I'm going to need your AI for all the meetings I'm going to be having for all of that. Mike Roosevelt can be found at webconnection.com. He can also be found at the front of Baltimore Positive through the holidays. Don't look for him this weekend. He'll be drinking eggnog and having some fun and probably watching too much football like all the rest of us this weekend. They sort of start on Thursday and they don't end. It's the most exciting time of the year, and I'm going to be Wise Markets. They're breaking the sauerkraut and kielbasa out for me. They promised me cinnamon ice cream on top of my apple pie, warm, just the way I like it. So I'm going to have Christmas twice this week, thanks to our friends at Wise Markets. You know we have these wise conversations around here. Luke is out in Owings Mills all week long. If there's any breaking news, you get it first on the WNST Tech Service, brought to you by Coons Baltimore Ford. And I'm a very available individual. You want to reach me, ness@baltimorepositive.com. Finds me anytime. And there'll be plenty of stadia residue with the governor and with all the people that are giving John Angelos more money than we probably should. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. Merry Christmas to everyone, even John Angelos and Steve Bisciotti. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. Stay with us. We never stop talking Baltimore positive.